Hey, really quickly, short live read. A lot of people asked if we were going to do anything special for 2 million subscribers. Like we said, we just wanted to focus on the work, continue creating content that hopefully you know and love. Please subscribe, hit the notification bell if you haven't already hit the notification bell, because subscriptions don't necessarily mean a whole lot. And Mug Club is what keeps this going. So right now, if you enter in the promo code at loudwithcrowder.com/mugclub, 2 million, the number 2 million, you get $20 off, and it ends Friday at 11:59 p.m. I think Eastern, that promo code is number 2 million. Enjoy the show.
Louder with Crowder Studios, protected exclusively by Walther. It's June, which marks Louder with Crowder's third annual Cultural Appropriation Month, where we appreciate and appropriate all the great cultures that this world has to offer. This week, we whisk you away to the ancient and reigning world champions in violations of human rights, undefeated, Egypt!
Like a pointer, but very unwieldy.
Hopper's fine. Hopper's fine. Angel of Death took all your first parts. Mine's totally fine. He's not even a person.
Oh no. Mine's fine too. He's just sleepy.
Yeah.
Very sleepy.
Couldn't think about a whole lot for Egypt. Before we get to anything else, some fun Egypt facts. Of course, this is the second to last week in Cultural Appropriation Month. You send in, you win costume contests every single week, whoever has the best costume. Before we get to anything, Egypt facts. Number one, parasites actually cause men to urinate blood. They were so common that the Egyptians thought that men had menstrual cycles. That is a true fact.
Wow.
Number two,
true facts are great.
The second always kept several naked slaves nearby whose bodies were smeared in honey in order to keep the flies from getting too close to him. So,
practical,
ladies, man. Mm. Chivalry is not dead. Also, women aren't granted citizenship at all.
Oh, wow.
I'm not granted citizenship.
That's disappointing.
You can beat the hell out of them. So, we have great guests. We have Ben Shapiro on the show today.
Oh.
We have Anthony Cumia on the show today, who I'm happy to have back. And we have Richard Painter on the show today. And the coach of the South Korean soccer team whose name escapes me because I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, Young.
Producing with me in video studio, as always, is Jared, who is not gay. Follow him on Twitter at NotGayJared. Meet us, Crowder, with your comments, your thoughts, your Photoshops, your costumes this week.
Yep.
I fulfill my legal obligations, drawing. Conclusion. Somebody help me! Are we good?
We're good now. We'll fix that in post.
At G Morgan Jr., what's the wine of the day?
Pharaoh Moans.
Oh, I see. I thought you were going to have, Manischewitz, but you actually thought of Egypt. Are those boils on your face, or is that like zit cream?
I just had a
zit cream.
Look like a
boils.
Picture for, you look like Linus if he did an ad for Clearasil.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I think it's supposed to be some kind of a skin disease. Yeah.
Sven Computer, are you ready with the overlays?
I'm ready with the overlays, BB.
Yeah.
I'm a little sad Angel of Death killed both my babies, but they gave me the opportunity to learn how to juggle, so that's good.
At least they were designed for a purpose.
Yeah, but
terrible start.
So I'm so sad, and that what will cheer me up, though, is if people find their way to my social media and follow me at Sven Computer.
See what happened there?
No.
Question of the day before we get to any of the topics. Listen, with the situation with the deportation of the families at the border and Trump being blamed for it, and Facebook and Twitter, the outrage of politicians, are we supposed to assume that nobody now has Google anymore to actually know where this policy stems? We'll talk about this with Ben Shapiro. We'll give you a brief timeline after this. I am amazed. Tell me, I want to hear from you guys what you think, because a lot of people started off the week going, I can't believe President Donald Trump did this, and then said, oh, this has effectively been in effect since 97. What's happened? These pictures are from 2014. What's going on? Also, second question, do all Asians look alike? I contend that not all, but most.
Most. Yep. The vast majority.
We actually covered a story that said that. I'll talk to you about it in a minute.
Yeah, we're going
to
talk to you about it in a minute. It's probably the funniest story I've seen all week, aside from dumpster fire. So, to start off with a little good news, a lot of people say sometimes a little bit dark when you start the show, so some sliver of light. Today, Peter Fonda was ripped from his Beverly Hills home and shipped to a timeshare with Kevin Spacey. So, that's a good way to start the day.
There we go.
Spacey looks a little too happy there.
Spacey's probably disappointed.
Oh.
It's not good for him.
Well, I think at a certain point, you're so old that you're young again.
Oh, it's
like high-waisted jeans.
It's a sphere. You're right.
You start to lose your eyesight for
only
a reason
with
at that age.
So this video has gone viral this week. Democratic U.S. Senate. This is really hard to speak, guys. I'm going to do this for a little
bit. Got some hair in it.
I can't pronounce my words. So Democratic U.S. Senate, a candidate for the U.S. Senate who's a Democrat.
Minnesota.
Son of a bitch.
Wisconsin.
Say my name. It's not that one.
Minnesota.
This is not a joke. Richard Painter, this was his ad in its entirety. Take a look.
Some people see a dumpster fire and do nothing but watch the spectacle. Some are too scared to face the danger, or they think it will benefit them if they just let it keep on burning. Others shrug and say, oh, all this talk of a dumpster fire, it's just fake news. There is an inferno raging in Washington. But here in the land of 10,000 lakes, we know how to put out a fire.
I am Richard Painter, and I approve of this message.
So, before you get mad at us for hearing him, we saw he has not had a stroke.
He has not had
No, he's definitely not had a stroke. There was an interview where he may have,
but he personally denied it.
He personally denied it. Okay. Wasn't that true, Sven Computer?
That's what the article said. That's what he said in the interview.
He said it.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
So we could say he looks like a retarded Clint Eastwood screwed a retarded Ron Perlman, then had a stroke.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Jeez. I'm trying to think of. Yeah, you're
retards
going
to in the Senate. Yep. It's time.
I've done the math. You are definitely going to help. So, by the way, as bad as that ad is, apparently the taping of the ad was actually way worse. And you know, we get our hands on exclusive. We have a lot of plants here at Loud with Crowder, and we actually have some B-roll of some outtakes of some exclusive footage from that ad.
Some people see a dumpster fire and do nothing but watch the spectacle. Some are too scared to face record low unemployment, record high job participation, a booming stock market, energy independence. You'd think they'd never seen a dumpster fire.
Cut.
3 out of 4 major American cities are plagued by dumpster fires.
Cut.
Only you can prevent dumpster fires by voting for me. Dumpster fire! So dumpster fire is the term that all the kids are using now. It's a term like...
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, it's a cool term. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
F***ing hard to see. I took a dump in the fire.
No!
Donald Trump took a dump in the fire. Dumpster fire! I didn't start the fire.
No.
It was always burning when Trump started turning. Dumpster fire. Can we say garbage fire? It's easier for me to say than dumpster fire.
No, dumpster fire is the colloquialism. Dumpster fire.
Oh, I can't say that neither. Dumpster fire! Do you prefer? Mr. Dumpster! It's a fair the dumpster. Here in the land of 1,000 lakes.
It's 10,000.
Here in the land of 1,000,000 lakes. We have a lot of lakes here in Minnesota. At least we used to. Before all the dumpster fires. Is it as simple as that, America? I think so. When you think Richard Painter, think dumpster fire.
Richard Painter for U.S. Senate. Because only he can prevent
dumpster fires!
That's why I've always change my mind. I've talked about this. I am the least objective person at watching anything that we do that isn't character driven.
Yeah.
I have to trust you guys. I'm like, listen, just I can't watch myself. Please let me know how this turns out. He had no one around him to say,
no,
this is a disaster.
So. No.
This is a dumpster fire.
They just got done SNL and they just got done capitalizing on embarrassing conservative ads, and then their own team goes and
I noticed
they do that.
The leftist blogs just never show the video. They just put on quotes.
Yeah, they do. It's only in quotes. They don't want to show you the. Yeah, it's
like
quotes, and screenshots.
Broken.
Because they've banked it. They've cast the film before they've had a live read. Speaking of Fleming, by the way, the BBC has a new report on the Arab world's quote only gay radio station.
Yeah, right.
The station plays music and issues are discussed in depth, but LGBTQ contributors, LGBT, they haven't added the Q.
Oh, wow.
Let alone the AIP. They don't identify themselves as sexually active on air.
Sounds like a trap.
Yeah, it does. I am the only gay radio station. Everyone sign up here. We have a guest book. And you'll never see it again.
Come to the roof.
Though, really, if you actually listen to the radio, it's just gay karaoke with the lyrics changed.
They say we gay, that it's not all right. They want us dead to burn us all alive.
I don't care if all that's true, cause you do me, and baby, I beg you.
are so gay. Like super gay.
Well, I'll just have to take your word for it, because I'm not tuning in.
I'm falling for it. Not getting my...
We're on iHeartRadio.
I don't care.
They've gayed everything now.
I don't want none of your mailings. Somebody else come in the bagels.
By the way, pooping is dangerous and creates the same pain as childbirth for sloths.
I knew
this was just discovered. It says sloths only release their bowels once a week. The act of pooping occurs in the forest floor, which can be a dangerous place for sloths as predators lurk there. And matters are made even worse when they read Sloth's Digest. So that's something... Actual article says about half of the sloth fatalities occur when they are doing this ritual.
I love how they refer to it as a ritual.
I just thought, I don't know, like, this just goes to tell that the endangered species list is bullshit.
Yeah. It is. It's complete and utter crap.
What can we, it's like, well,
if we stopped I don't know if anyone's hunting sloths, but if we stopped all of it tomorrow, half of them would still die.
They'll die.
From pooping.
50% chance of dying, they say, at the toilet, or actually 100% if you're famed rock star sloth, Sloth Presley, or Elvis Slothley to the uninitiated.
He's still alive.
But unlike with childbirth, you don't have to hear the sloth complain about constipation for 9 months.
Oh, it's true, though.
It is true.
It is true. Lots of constipation that I read about.
Yes, you read about. By the way, the annual Pony Festival just happened. It's not what you think. Real quick.
Where people compete in events and classes just the same as real horses do.
Just the same. This is Brand X.
These events are very competitive. Just like a regular horse show event, we end up with some crashes and wrecks. People go down over the jumps.
You failed at a pony festival, sir. This is just, when I watched that clip, look, you failed at a human, let me put this into context. There's normal society, okay? Superior, by the way, to pony fetishists in every way. I'm okay 100%. Saying it. Then there's a long layer of shit, including ventriloquists, social justice warriors, and ex-Fox News hosts, soccer players. Then, finally, there's pony fetishists. And then there's you! David Carradine is looking down from heaven saying, that's kind of embarrassing.
Even Macaulay Culkin was like, what are you doing with your life?
What are you doing with your life? This comes from the only kid Michael Jackson didn't fondle.
Oh, my gosh. I think it was just a genius move.
I love how Gerald isn't saying anything today. Completely quiet.
He's grieving.
This next one's right down center plate for you. Two people were arrested in Oklahoma City for having drunken sex in the middle of an intersection.
Yes.
So that's a real thing.
Why is that down the middle?
Bold.
Well, nothing would sound out of the ordinary until you see their mug shots. Look at the mug shots. The woman pleaded not guilty to charges of bestiality, which, by the way, in the great state of Oklahoma includes but is not limited to the rock eater from the Neverending Story. We found that out.
Strong.
When your face looks like a cliff, you know you must have a huge to get laid in an intersection. Jeez. I don't care how drunk she was.
But Your Honor, in my defense, I was so wasted, I thought he was the nothing. I was buzzed. He looked like a Treyu. We made some bad decisions.
Oh, what a good movie.
I regret all the things. Mostly living in Oklahoma, though.
But I'm fortunate to have this child in my life.
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
Giving birth is going to be painful. It's going to be like passing the biggest kidney stone ever. So, Dale Altman, a marijuana farmer, was cut off by the erupting Kilauea volcano. He refused to give up on his dream, claiming that it's his main source of income and that, quote, we are not stupid. We thought this out. Mm-hmm. He says, if you look at that image with the lava, there's nothing left, by the way. He has no power left.
Yeah.
He let it out.
And we're all sitting here laughing, but he actually comes from a long line of experienced narcotic creators and distributors, like his brother, actually, who grows opium poppies in the Tornado Valley. So he's a good...
There you go. Yeah.
And his uncle, who built a meth lab next to the lair of Godzilla. So there's that.
That
was
ill-advised, yeah. Hindsight's 2020.
Hindsight is always 2020, and pick better spots. I mean, there's Walmart parking lots everywhere.
I will not leave my pot plants, even though literally molten lava has obliterated my entire existence, creating acid rain that singes the skin and air that burns your lung cavity. But I'm not addicted. I can quit anytime I want.
What you don't realize, David, is Big Pharma suppresses the fact that marijuana cures melted arms.
Yeah. Everything. Yes, yes.
It stops lava. It's the only
known substance. Big Pharma created the volcano, which, by the way, doesn't exist because the Earth is flat, and it would go like this. I've seen the video.
Either way.
I'm just asking questions.
He has no house. Yeah. Gone.
We're going to end on this? Okay.
That's
so
awesome.
We're going to end on he has nails. By the way, let's just go through this real quick because we'll really quickly we'll speak with Ben Shapiro about it. Yeah. Trump, by the way, didn't separate families. This is a whole bunch of misdirected outrage. Let's just do a quick timeline to clear this up, okay? Sometimes actual journalism happens, first off, even at CNN. Case in point, Brooke Baldwin called out.
I'm liking her more and more.
Tammy Baldwin over the blatant hypocrisy. Look at the clip.
So many people in this country are certainly outraged by the cages and the thermal blankets and the facilities housing these kids. You know, they were all there in 2014 under President Obama. And my question to you, Senator Baldwin, is did you speak up against them then?
You know, on this issue that we
trying to, I was just, you know.
I'm liking that broad more and more. That's a bold question, actually.
Every day, I'm not joking, in my prayers, I ask that he'll come on the show.
Yeah. It's 2018. That's a bold question? Are you serious? It's
for
bold.
CNN. I mean,
I know. I'm just saying. Come on. That's
she
not
knew
bold.
She didn't have the answer.
It takes zero balls to ask that question.
Okay. For yeah, she has no balls.
Well, you didn't have to say it.
This is a dumpster fire. So the Florida's consent policy, by the way, it was signed into law under Clinton, okay, in 1997. A direct quote prohibits the federal government from keeping children in immigration detention, even if they are with their parents, for more than 20 days. Okay? That's from the New York Times. It's not fake news, okay, Republican alt-right Facebook page. It's from the New York Times.
These are your own sources.
Yes, these are your own sources. The Obama administration violated this policy. Of course, they angered immigration advocates, saying he'd detain mothers and refused to release the blah, 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 blah. Okay, so this week, agencies began enforcing the immigration law with a zero-tolerance policy. There's been an increase, yes, in parents being detained, of course, and children being released into these what they call tender care facilities. I know I'm not a big fan of the name either.
Yeah. It's amazing what happens to statistics when you go from 0% enforcement to 100%.
Yeah, exactly. Not even 100%. If you go from 0%
to any percent,
to any percent. And yesterday, of course, Donald Trump signed an executive order to end all of this because you can't, you know, the polls.
Yeah.
by the way, the photos of children in cages, a lot of them from 2014, just so you know. So that's the, we'll talk that more. Anything else that I've missed?
That covers it.
I just think we've lost our ability to have rational thought with this. This is crazy. It's a no-win situation on both sides. 14, Obama's crazy for doing it. Now Trump's crazy for doing it. It's like, you just can't win. Can we just build a wall, please, and be done? Can we just do something?
Just brush him under the door.
Something.
The wall.
Start a little soccer team on the border. I don't know.
You want to punt them?
No. That is not what you misconstrued my words.
You're supposed to be the nice one. What were you saying?
But what is just so stupid about this, BB, is that the executive, the Trump administration is blamed for executing the law.
I know.
So it's a legislative job to change it.
Yeah.
But the only we're acting like Trump is a god and like he just decides what is being done.
Well, they did decide to enforce. These agencies decided to start enforcing these laws. But exactly, it is the law. That's the issue. Now, if you have someone who doesn't respect rule of law, it doesn't mean that the rule of law is not a thing, that it's a figment of your imagination.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that it's a human right to be a citizen of the United States. That was the big thing. We did the change my mind to build the wall.
Yeah.
People said, why did you pick this? It's like a straw. It was Austin. There were professors. There was no one who had any kind of a coherent argument. It was just the wall's kind of mean. So we're going to do it again and hopefully get something a little bit more substantive from people. But it was really tough.
It was hard to pick which ones to run because no one made a valid. Like a really competitive argument. Like, nothing convincing.
We can paint some cartoons on it. That'll
Gave you the best. We gave you the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
What you get? Backpack man.
All right. So another story that I think is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. South Korea. This is a true story. And we're going to be asking, do all Asians look alike? Or is it racist to think that a lot of them do? So South Korean coach of the soccer team, Shin Tae-yong? I don't know.
Pretty
I
good.
Have no idea.
Pretty good.
He admitted to pulling an old switcheroo, mixing around the jersey numbers for recent training sessions and warm-up games because he believes Westerners find it difficult, quote, to distinguish between Asians.
Yeah.
He did it more specifically to confuse the Swedes during practice.
By the way, Snopes refuses to validate that one.
Because
it's fact-checked true. 0 Pinocchios.
Will All right, I do have to be careful with this. Maybe I'm going to pull it back a little bit. So here to comment actually on the controversy now is South Korean soccer coach. I think we have him, right? Shin Tae Yong. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Me so happy.
Yeah, there's no way this is going to go well. So Mr. Young, explain to us why you're at the center right now of this controversy, if you can.
People have no sense of humor no more. Don't practice. I have my player switch jersey around. Just play, no danger.
Okay, right. So you had players exchange jerseys, but why?
I do it to mess with the Swedes. Just a little joke so the bastards mix up players. No danger.
So you thought they wouldn't be able to tell your players apart if they switched jerseys? Is that
you
what you're
telling? Tell them apart?
Well, I...
See, that's my point. If you can't, it's certainly not some filthy Swede. Just playing on white guilt. Joke. No danger.
I don't think anyone's insinuating danger here.
Listen.
Playing on
white
guilt?
People are afraid now to say all Asians look alike, but let me let you in on a little secret. We all look alike!
I don't think that's...
Okay, let me show you. If you were to take our forward, Sam Hyung-min, and describe him to a police sketch artist, what would you say?
I don't know. Black hair.
Maybe.
Brown eyes. Yeah, relatively short. Oval face.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if you look at Hwang Yang-hee Chan, our striker, how do you describe him to police? What would you say?
Black hair.
Uh-huh.
Brown eyes,
if you took our midfielder, Kim Sung Young player, he knocked up a whole liquor store. How do you describe him?
Probably black hair, brown eyes, and
you racist son of a bitch!
No, listen, here's the thing.
You're just a joke. No danger. Half the time I can't tell my own kids apart, Steven. I have to look at their test scores.
Really?
Yes, I don't beat the wrong one with the violin rod.
Wait, what?
See, here's my point. If the World Cup, the stupid cowardly Swedes can't even tell South Korea's most famous successful soccer players. When it comes to the Chinaman, one of your local bodegas, you don't got a snowball's chance in hell, Steven.
I'm just very uncomfortable with all of this. I don't think that this is going very
well. Oh, you whites are so uptight. It's just a joke. You squirm like little white girl. Why are you so uncomfortable?
What you're expressing here, frankly, it sounds a little racist. Even for this show, I would say.
Oh, it's racist. I'm so sorry. I didn't know it was racist, but did it work? Did it work?
It actually does seem to have worked, according to the article.
Oh, damn! So racism work! Haha! Also, I'm not even the coach.
What's that?
Nothing. Point is, racism work.
No, you know, that can't be the lesson here. You're going to have to go.
I'm off to prepare for Ladies World Cup and dress Kim Young-sun like girl.
What?
Bye, Steven.
South Korean soccer coach, Shin Tae-yong. No more. We need to get I hope he finds one.
No coach.
Okay, but you know what? He opened the door for me. I felt I had to pull back. Now we can put our foot on the gas.
Here we go.
Here's the thing. If it is an actual strategy for the South Korean soccer coach to take the most famous South Koreans on Earth, by the way. If a South Korean actor is famous, he's only famous in South Korea. A South Korean soccer player is probably the closest thing to an international celebrity that exists from South Korea, right?
Unless you work for Samsung.
For Samsung. So the most famous South Koreans on Earth, all they had to do was switch the numbers. And their chief opposition, the Swedes, watching them practice, could not tell the difference. That was all it took. Was a jersey swap, and you know they didn't even need to change sizes. No. There was no tailoring going on.
Not even a little bit. One size fits every Asian.
So I wonder. Like,
it really does kick the door
open. People are going to get mad, but here's the truth. I think we need to delineate between racism, which is hate, which is believing that someone is inferior because of their race, and this faux color blindness, acting as though it's somehow virtuous to not acknowledge the differences between races.
Yeah, of course. Doesn't mean we make up differences between you.
What? I'm trying to think of how to tread. I'm trying to pick my words carefully, but I'm not.
So what I was going to say is we actually covered this on Morning Grinders, may it rest in peace. There was an F2, a cell phone. They were doing the facial recognition feature for the iPhone.
Yeah.
And there was two Asian ladies, and it couldn't decipher. One lady was able to open it every time. They took it back three times.
Right.
It's scientific proof.
Well, you know, it's already documented, actually, that most people have difficulty differentiating faces from other races. And it's not just white people. It's called other race or the cross-race effect.
Yeah.
There's an actual psychological... They've studied this I think you brought up the overlay, right? From Psychology Today.
So,
but that'll be turned into hate speech tomorrow.
Well, basically, right, just you, no matter what race you're talking about, if you're a member of one race, you'll have a lot easier job deciding who looks different, right?
Yeah.
So, but, yeah. that's the same for Asians and Blacks and everyone. And pretty much it also said in one of the studies that it has nothing to do with racism or like preconceived notions.
Yeah. I think that's hate speech. So, by the way, in studies on the cross-race effect, some have noted that participants had the most difficulty telling, surprise, Asian faces apart. So the quote is, in particular, the most mistakes happen to taking the face of a male Chinese, 68%, Indian, 58%, female Indian, and then female Chinese. That's a walk away win.
Here's the honest trend. There's just very little variance between people within those races. It's just
a fact. Well, okay, yes.
Physical appearance is very little variance.
Everyone here, right, there's a foot of height difference between you and Sven Computer almost.
Yeah.
And then there's different eye colors, different hair on everyone here.
Different facial hair abilities.
Right. Different body types.
I can't do
different
none.
Skin tone.
Yeah.
You can't go in the sun.
Nope.
I can. Sven Computer probably can't just because Angela Merkel won't allow him to. I'm not saying all Asians look alike, but there is statistically less variance. And by the way, you can also say the same thing, not just about Asians. This is, again, why it's so important. This isn't racism. As the study said, it's not about hate. It's about recognizing that people of different races look different. You can say the same thing about Icelandic people. Right now, picture an Icelandic person in your head, okay? What do you think? Probably taller, more fair-skinned, blonde hair. When you think of a Viking, think of someone from a Scandinavian country, more likely to look similar, probably a socialist. Right?
Sven's thinking of the master race over here, easy.
Same thing if you picture a black person right now in your head. You're probably picturing someone. Are there black people with blue eyes? Yes, absolutely. You have the Hodge twins. But most of them have black hair, brown eyes, dark skin, you know, more proclivity to sickle cells. That's the thing. Disproportionate rates.
Racist.
It's definitely
I love hearing that from a German. They're also cooler, by the way.
Yeah, they're
very, very much cooler.
And this is something I think that's important.
That racist to note that.
The story was so funny to me because when the rubber hit the road, the South Korean soccer coach they don't care at all about race.
No.
At that point. He's like,
not at all.
It's like the Parent Trap, but with a whole race.
Well, that's the thing too. That's the thing with think of it like cultural appropriation. Mexicans are the first one to sell street tacos and sombreros.
Yeah, I know.
Like they're the first ones to make money off of it and be like, yep, this is what we do. This is the Mexican. They're the least offended by it.
Yeah. Every culture does that.
My mother is French Canadian. God bless her. And she is not. And when she didn't encounter many black people. And I remember she walked up one time up. To someone and said, "Hey, you did it at church. Saying you did a great job. Loved you playing the piano." Well, you know, actually, this church. You know, the church was a church we both used to go to. And here's the thing. It was a different guy, and there was a different black guy. That being said, my mom went. That's a good example. She went up to compliment him, and they were the same height, same build.
Yeah.
Same hair color, same eye color, and that day they were black. Both wearing a maroon sweater.
Yeah.
I know she's gonna be mad at me for telling this story. It's but not come like on, I can't
it's,
blame
even
her.
That it's a compliment. She said you did wrong. She didn't say, "Hey, you look the guy who stole my radio."
No, exactly.
This is not hateful.
You want to see how much cultures care about this kind of stuff? Watch the World Cup. I'm sorry, I have to work this in. The Egyptian fans were wearing what he is wearing, what Nage Jared's wearing. They were wearing that.
Yeah.
They don't care. They
really?
I swear to you, there were some that had not the whole thing. The
headdress. They were wearing the Yul Brynner?
They were wearing the headdress kind of thing. I swear to you. Look it up. You'll have to watch soccer for it, though.
I don't believe you.
Come on.
I think you're lying. I think you're being racist. I don't participate in soccer.
You should.
No, I don't because of the race. This is a case in point. Is this exactly?
It's racist.
It's racist because of the South Korean soccer team. This is one thing. I think people have been made so afraid of having. Not even necessarily of having opinions, but also of observing statistical realities.
Yeah.
Listen, these are the same people, by the way, who are offended if you say, on average, Asian people have higher IQs. More of them get into college in the United States. It's not even close. They go, how could you say that? By the way, we have to have a reverse quota for Asians in college. That's a thing.
We can only take so many.
And it actually exists because of far left policy. Right? They get upset about that. But then when a South Korean soccer coach does the old switcheroo, we say, hey, you can only do that because you know, they all have black hair, brown eyes, and oval faces. All of a sudden, it's a thing. No, we're going to say it. We're totally fine with it. And go watch the documentary. We're going to have Ben Shapiro up. Go watch the documentary, Too Funny to Fail. And there's a funny sketch in that where Stephen Colbert, Steve Carell, Dana Carvey, Robert Schmeichel, they were all talking about this. And it was people in the crowd who were kind of these stereotypes. One was a Saudi person. I think one was Asian. And Steve Carell said, today it would be career-endingly racist. But back then, it was okay. It was a joke. And it wasn't at all meant to be mean-spirited. And I watched it, and maybe we'll talk about this with Anthony Kamiya. I was thinking, my gosh, you absolute pansy. The fact that you consider that racist, you consider that off-limits for jokes, what is comedy going to be in 5 years from now, Mr. Colbert? I can't get my head around it. So I'm kind of thank you, South Korea, for swapping the jerseys and letting this joke go on a little longer. Ben Shapiro next.
Dollar Shave Club line of business dot and razors. In fact, it's just getting started. Me personally, I don't even think about starting my day without their Citrus Hawaiian Ginger Face Cleanser. Their Good Shake Hand Cream. Or their Fluoride Toothpaste. And of course, their razors aren't half bad, but you already knew that. How are we doing back there?
Better push back than the Sprague half hour, beep beep.
DollarShave.com/Crowder is actually a great way to try Dollar Shave's product. We don't have that many sponsors on this show, usually not by choice, but for $5, you can get their Daily Essential Starter Set. It comes with a body cleanser, the One Wipe Charlie's, amazing butt wipes. They work fantastically. Famous Shave Butter, and of course, their best razor. And then for a few bucks more, you can keep those razors coming. Listen, if you groom anyway, use these products. Support a great sponsor who's not shying away in sponsoring this show. And you're going to use something anyway. It's as good as anything else out there. So that is DollarShave.com/Crowder, $5 to sample the whole kit, and you won't be disappointed. Unless you don't groom, then find another channel.
When our next guest was in Egypt land, let my Shapiro go.
I think you can guess who it is. You know his show. You love his show at the Daily Wire, at Ben Shapiro, as long as they allow him. And apparently he's talking to someone else who's not me right now, but that's just Ben.
Yeah, I can't hear you, dude. I mean, it's just, there we go.
There you go. You can hear me?
Got to pipe in the volume louder.
There you go. How are you, Mr. Shapiro?
Well, I'm good. I mean, I have to tell you, I'm a little uncomfortable. Your prom dress is not my culture is not your prom dress, my friend.
No, it's not your culture. It's Egypt's culture. You appropriated the Jews. The Jews were appropriated by Egypt, and now we're appropriating it from Egypt so that we give it back to you, the Jews.
Didn't see the Bane.
Bane Moses,
you know.
Apparently. He was effectively the original Bane. He liberated the Jews. Liberated. And then they complained in the desert when they had manna.
My life in darkness.
I was raised on manna, fueled by it. All right, Ben. We were just talking about this before with the timeline, and I know I've been following you as well, this immigration fiasco this week as far as the media and its handling of it. Here's the deal. Like we talked about, Donald Trump makes some mistakes, but do people think that we can't Google this and see which policy this was, when it was signed, how it's being enforced? Explain for people who don't believe me, because I don't have that much credibility today, the timeline.
So the timeline is that in 1997, the Clinton administration signed an agreement called the Flores Agreement with a bunch of advocates for illegal immigrants. And the Flores Agreement, the settlement agreement, basically suggested that that unaccompanied minors who come to the southern border could not be held in custody for longer than 20 days.
Right.
In 2014, 2015, there's this big wave of migrants that comes up to the border with kids. It's parents with kids. And the Obama administration decides they want to hold the parents and the kids there together. And they actually called it a deterrent at the time. Jay Johnson, who's the head of DHS, he said at the time, this is a deterrent policy designed to keep people from coming to the United States. There's a lawsuit filed against that policy of keeping the children with the parents together in detention on the basis of the Flores settlement. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals rules that if you arrest the parents, you cannot keep the kids in custody longer than 20 days. The kids have to be released out of custody. They cannot be held with the parents. So Trump comes along and he says, listen, we're not going to just catch and release these people anymore. So what Obama did in response was he basically said, okay, we're not going to arrest anyone. People are going to come across the border with their kids. We're just going to hold them for a second, then we'll release them, and then we will trust them to come back. Well, this resulted in a very high rate of people not showing up for court, as you would imagine. Something like 4 in 10 people not showing up for court. They just disappear into the interior.
Yeah, I know. So it's like Los Angeles traffic tickets, only with felonies.
Calendars.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So in 2017, 2018, the Trump administration makes clear they are now going to put into place the no-tolerance policy, the zero-tolerance policy, where everybody who comes across the border illegally will now be prosecuted as an illegal immigrant. If you want to apply for asylum, you go to a point of entry, no problem. You want to try and immigrate legally, you go to a point of entry, no problem. You try to cross the border where there is no border patrol, and they will arrest you and they will charge you criminally. And what that means is that thanks to that reenactment of the Flores settlement under 2016 Ninth Circuit law, once you arrest the parents, you cannot keep the kids in custody with the parents. They must be separated by policy. So it wasn't that Trump was like, you know what, let's grab these families and then separate out the kids because I hate children, they're the worst, and I want to murder them. No, what it
specifically
really was
brown children. Specifically brown children, as we've been told.
Exactly. When it's just like the Nazis. Instead, what it really was it was going to be President Trump arresting everyone who comes across the border. And if the natural after effect of that is the kids can't be held in custody, then they're separated for a given period of time until they are deported as a family. If they apply for asylum, that time is a little bit longer.
Right.
And if they don't apply for asylum, then the court process moves pretty quickly for deportation. The kids get deported alongside the parents. The media instead proclaim this is Japanese internment. This is Nazi policy. It's brand new. Now, the way that you know this was absolute crap, the way that you know this was absolute crap is not only because the Obama administration did it, but also because when the Trump administration does it, then the suggestion is if they separate the families, this is the worst thing ever, right? You got Rachel Maddow weeping openly on television.
Yeah.
But if they bring the families back together in detention, then the suggestion is that this is inhumane. So if you separate the families, it's inhumane and Nazi-esque. If you bring the families together, it's like the Japanese internment camps, meaning the only solution the left has proposed here is just release everyone back into the general society,
right,
which, of course, is what they're looking
which
for.
Which is when I ask myself, what would Kevin Spacey do? I'd probably just enter the cages. Here's the thing. I just said all of the things that Ben Shapiro said in the earlier segment. I just wanted to make sure that you heard it from someone who people believed. would not trust.
Source people trust.
Yeah. Source people. You know your trust. No, that's exactly right. And this is a good example of where I've talked about this, where we do the change my mind. A lot of people go, well, I didn't like this one because you're usually civil. No, I'm not going to be civil based on a lie. And when we talked about build the wall, people started talking about dreamers. People started talking about anchor. What about the kids who are here? I go, okay, everyone obviously is compassionate, but you don't want to deport felons. You want open borders. So before we get that far down the trail to try and find common ground, not Ben, by the way, I'm talking about the people that changed my mind. Before we try and act as though we can find common ground on what to do with children, let's figure out what we do with the bulk of illegal immigration. And there is no common ground, and that's what you see right now. It's appeasing crocodiles. Donald Trump separates them. He's a monster. Puts them back together. He's a monster. The only solution is, again, where we have no common ground. Open borders completely.
Now, I will say that the Trump administration did botch the rollout of this policy in magnificent fashion, as per our usual arrangement. The Trump administration has a policy, and the policy is perfectly defensible on the merits. And instead of just rolling out the policy, saying, listen, we have a zero tolerance policy. We'd prefer to change the law so kids can stay with their parents in detention facilities before they are removed en masse. Instead of doing that, he has a bunch of people trot out there to say that he wants to use the separation of the children as a deterrent in and of itself, which is idiotic. Yep. And then say, well, we didn't really mean that. What we really meant is we like to keep everybody together. And then say, but we can't keep everybody together because the legislature has to solve that, which is correct. And but we, the executive branch, can't just sign an executive order getting rid of this. And then after about a week of blowback, say, well, you know, we'll sign an executive order and we'll sort of get rid of it and we'll sort of not get rid of it. Therefore, undercutting the entire legal basis for what you've been claiming for 2 weeks and making you look malicious and stupid. Like, there's no reason that it had to be rolled out this way. It's the worst rollout of any policy that they've had since the travel ban. And again, there's no rationale for it because, again, it is perfectly defensible on the legal merits. You know, as a lawyer, on the legal merits, this is a perfectly defensible policy. It is just not defensible to switch in time all the time.
I forgot that you were a lawyer. I thought you were touring with the Russian opera playing violin for a while. But then I remember you were a lawyer. You were my lawyer.
That's right. I was your lawyer. I was the ultimate Jew's lawyer. It's amazing.
Now I'm uncomfortable. I feel like I don't know what's going on here.
I'll Bill sue him.
But one thing I've definitely noticed with you, you find yourself defending the policies of the Trump administration more and more. While of course, listen, the PR debacles. But here's the deal: when we talked about this, there are the polls as well, where people don't support. Well, until he signed the executive order, people did not support the separation of families. But people over, well, a plurality of people, I think it was 46 to 37, you probably remember the stat from earlier this week, do support stricter immigration laws and enforcement of borders. So that shows you that there's a disconnect between what Americans want and what they perceive as happening according to the media. And yes, Donald Trump gives them a little bit of a gift. That being said, you can't use it, and this is what the left is doing, taking this debacle and using it to argue for the fact that, well, the laws haven't been enforced, therefore it's a human right to be in the United States of America.
Yeah, exactly right. And again, the tell is pretty obvious here. Ted Cruz says, okay, well, here's a fix. And Chuck Schumer, who 5 seconds ago was saying this is Japanese internment and Nazism, is saying, well, you know, we're not going to work with you on that fix. We'd prefer to hold Trump's feet to the fire. I was like, well, either it's Nazism and you should try to stop it, or it's not Nazism and you're just lying about
it.
And it turns out that it's the second. And of course, now that the Trump administration has signed this executive order, which, by the way, is legally vacuous. I mean, there it really is an empty executive order. It either reinstitutes catch and release, or it doesn't change policy at all from what the Trump administration was already doing. It just kind of puts a nicer face on it.
Yeah.
But once that
But like you're
happens,
saying, that's kind of what's needed right now. That is what's needed, is a nicer face on it, because something needs to be done.
You know, I disagree with the executive order to the extent that I think that I think it's foolish because he's not going to win any points with the people who hate him. They're just going to suggest that he is an inhumane monster. And I also think that it's not operative. Like, it's just legally not operative. What he should have done is he should have said, here's a piece of draft legislation I came up with, you know, Ted Cruz and whomever else is going to propose this. If Democrats don't support board, it's because they obviously don't want to fix the problem.
Right, exactly.
Right? That I think would have been a better PR tactic as opposed to.
And it is putting a nice face on, is what I'm saying, because you know the Democrats wouldn't get behind it. Either way, you're putting a nice face on something that has to be done. That would have been a more effective way.
I just don't think that the nice face is going to succeed because you're going to have Samantha Bee out there immediately suggesting that the executive order is now about ripping children away from freedom and putting them in jail. Right? This is what she did on her execrable show last night. She officially won. You know, I've had this running tally for years, this four-way running gun battle for the least funny human being in America. Mm. And it was always between Samantha Bee, Trevor Noah, Lena Dunham, and Amy Schumer. And in the last several weeks, I mean, Samantha Bee is like secretariat. She has just bolted away from the pack. It is astonishing.
Yeah, no, exactly. If you could combine her with the face of Sarah Jessica Parker, she would be secretariat. I think you're mostly correct here. Like I said, I think either way, there needs to be a Band-Aid put on as far as the PR issue. That's what I'm talking about. The Americans perceive, most Americans want enforcement of the law. That was one thing we noticed with the Change My Mind where we did the build the wall. People came up and said, they agreed with everything except they said, I think a wall is mean. And they go, a wall's not going to do anything. We go, hold on a second. What if it were to do something? It's a piece of the puzzle. Americans are definitely tired of nothing being done with illegal immigration, and politicians are using this for football right now. So it's a quagmire. It's absolutely a quagmire, but, you know, they took our jobs. Let me ask
you. Well, this is why I've never been a fan of the whole idea of comprehensive immigration control and comprehensive immigration bills and all this nonsense, because if you take each one of these policies in a vacuum, people know what the right thing to do is. If you just say a wall alone, people are like, yeah, makes perfect sense. If you say, okay, we got to enforce the border, people are like, makes perfect sense. If you say families should stay together, people say makes perfect sense. And then you wrap it all up into one giant piece of crappy legislation and pass it, and then none of it makes any sense anymore.
Right, that's exactly right. We had a guy who said they should have X-ray lasers at the borders with people with tags. And I was like, you want to tag and bag illegal immigrants?
We'll use what your McDonald's taxes for that.
Yes. I would say it was up. It was uploaded online. Hey, so let me ask you this. We were talking about this not too long ago. And I know you mentioned this. Tommy Robinson, who's been on the show quite a bit. You said that you might have had a misimpression of him a little bit. And obviously it's gotten worse since you've talked about Tommy, now that he's been moved to another jail.
Yeah, I corrected it. I corrected it on my show as well. So my original impression of him when I first talked about him is I used the descriptor far right, which always seemed to be somewhere between alt-right and not quite alt-right. And I shouldn't have known better than that, obviously, because there are so many people on the left who call anyone alt-right. I'd seen some of his older quotes as well, right? There were some of his older quotes after the 7/7 London subway bombings, where he sort of impugned all Muslims as being responsible for that. And I looked at that and I said, well, that's pretty radical stuff, obviously. He's apologized for that. He's moved away from that. And so I did read on air a piece by, I'm trying to remember who it was, Douglas Murray. About his about Tommy Robinson, sort of his background, and that gave me a fuller picture of who Tommy Robinson is—a guy who certainly has his troubles, but I think in many ways is trying to do the right thing. So I wanted to be a little more accurate than my original depiction of him, which was kind of cursory and using descriptors that are too vague.
Well, I appreciate that, Ben. I think that goes a long way because we've done that too on this show, where this is the difference with what we do. People can't really go after our sponsors or get us fired, but it also means that we have to have a system of self-account, kind of like hockey. We have to be our own enforcers, and especially now with what you see what's happening with Tommy. Tommy's been a good friend of the show, and he's a self-professed Zionist as well. So I know a lot of people have labeled him an alt-right Nazi. Whenever I see that, I go, well, hold on a second. Okay, maybe he's all, but is he a Nazi? And I go, wait, hold on a second. He's a huge supporter of Israel.
Nazi, he's not doing it very well.
No, he's not doing it very well. But someone who's doing it better is probably Chuck Schumer. If he believes this is like Auschwitz, imagine that. Well, we could close Auschwitz, but let's use it as leverage. That's what's going on now. It really does belittle the history of the Holocaust when all of this is compared to the Holocaust, and then they effectively...
Everything is stupid. Apparently, the only things that anyone knows in America is they once read part of a Harry Potter book, and they heard of these bad people called the Nazis, and so everything has to fit into one of these two frameworks. Either it's a reference to Hogwarts, or if I don't like it, then it's a Nazi. These are the only... If it's great, it's Harry Potter. If it's bad, it's a Nazi. So it's just... I'm so glad that our political conversations have boiled down to Harry Potter, Nazis, and Kim Kardashian's ass somehow achieving pardons for
drug dealers.
This is our policy. That's great.
Wait, they mentioned the Nazis in Harry Potter? Do they?
I don't know. I mean, are there Nazis? And it would make the whole thing much more threatening. I mean, one of the big problems with Harry Potter is how competent is Voldemort if he can't even take over like a high school?
Yeah, I know.
He's really having a rough time with this high school.
Exactly.
Like, well, you're telling me he's the worst character in this entire universe, and he can't take over a high school.
Yeah. I mean, he'd probably have more success with a paneled van labeled Free Puppies.
Yeah. When you frame it all this way, it does sound kind of silly.
It does sound kind of silly. He's not a formidable foe, now that I think about it.
You said low aspirations, that's all.
One thing I will say about Harry Potter, my wife actually, because I was like, this is unwatchable. I can't watch this. And I was like, I know how it ends, because Harry Potter, and she lied to me. And she told me that Neville Longbottom? I don't know. But she's like, he's the real Harry Potter. Ha ha ha. So now I have to find out how they tie this all together. Harry Potter's not, and I was like, really? And I watched it. Turns out she lied. And I watched the whole series.
Mm.
So
wow.
I'm having an annulment.
You're a loving husband. I mean, that's pretty brutal right there.
All of them,
then. That's a hell of a prank.
And then I hope you had a hell of a piss, Arnold. And then after that, I took her to Harry Potter World, and I got violently ill. So not the biggest fan. That's why I do wonder. I don't remember the Nazis being mentioned in the films, but again, I'm not one of those people with Harry Potter who says the books were better because I don't hate myself. Ben, you are at Daily Wire, and of course you have a show coming up, if I'm not mistaken, in Dallas on August 15th, Ben Shapiro Live. Tickets are available at livenation.com, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can go over to dailywire.com/events as well if you want to check out the tickets there. So, yeah, we're almost sold out, and it should be a blast. You got about 3,000 people who are showing up.
Nice.
And we're looking forward to it. We're doing one in Dallas. We're doing one in Phoenix, I think, the next night. So our first live podcast, our first live show. So that should be fun.
Oh, so you're doing like what we did at SMU. You're taking the Ben Shapiro. I didn't know you were taking the Ben Shapiro show on the road. I thought you were doing just a speaking engagement, but it's the show live.
Yeah, no, it's not like a formal speech. It's going to be me kind of riffing, and then we'll do Q&A for a while.
Man, that'll be fun. Well, I will tell you, too, when we did it at SMU, it was, you know, same size, and the protesters were, it was paltry, and it wasn't even their signs. So they're not very invigorated in Dallas. I think you'll be mostly fine.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. So
yeah.
I'll see you there.
Yeah.
I'll stop by, or I'll just say I'll stop by right now on your show, and I actually won't stop by, and I'll just ignore you when I come.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. And then I'll just find some angry leftist in Austin and tweet your address, and I'll make sure to get them through security.
And so, then I'll have Sven Computer, like, storming the stage for no reason.
Right before you deport him.
Yes. Haven't you heard we're just as bad as the left? Okay, that is the Ben Shapiro Show at Daily Wire. Thank you, Ben, very much. I appreciate it, brother. You look like you're working too much. Get some rest.
Hard to see, my friend. Catch you.
Greetings, America. Hopper here. I just want to tell you how touched I've been. For all the people who join Mug Club, I've been getting more cheeses and blueberries, and I just hope that I can earn all the cheeses and the blueberries, and I don't know why I have them, but somewhere in my youthful childhood, I must have done something good. Oh, blueberry!
Television. Also, we don't want to. Our next guest, I'm very happy to have him back. It's been a while. I thought he was cross with us, see?
He did.
Because most people are, and also apparently I use terms from the 1930s that are entirely unnecessary. And
yeah, we'll learn more dictionary that later.
Dumpster fire. That's what I should be. That's what the new kids are using. But you know him at the Kumia Show on Twitter. See, whenever you have several plugs, people know exactly who it is already. Mm-hmm. And, of course, at Compound Media, the Anthony Kumia Show, Kumia Show. I always get the stuff wrong. Sorry, I was saying it wrong.
Fine.
Anthony Kumia, thanks for being back, sir.
Love being back. I haven't seen you in a while. No, we don't have a beef. We're not cross with each other. Nothing like that. It's just, yeah, running these kind of, you know this, like running a show and a network thing in this day and age is a full-time job.
Yes. It's very well, you look good, though. You got the haircut now, and you look younger.
Yeah, a little civilized. I figured I had to do it. I ask people to contribute money to me for HD video. You don't want it to be too gruesome for them, so I figured I better clean up a little bit.
Not make it in the move to 4K yet.
No, we won't be doing that. Yeah. I want that Vaseline lens like the women on old Star Trek episodes used to get.
Yeah, where Cammy Diaz's pockmarks hide out, so that way we never
exactly.
know.
Exactly, yes.
There were a couple people who you see in HD for the first. Cameron Diaz was the first one where I saw, and I said, oh, that's not the woman I had a crush on The Mask when I was young.
No, yeah. Not the same one.
No, not at all.
Yeah, bad skin and facial hair really show up in 4K. It's crazy.
And you know, actually, my father makes an audible sound Every time Maggie Gyllenhaal is on the screen at a movie theater, he makes sure to go so the people around him can hear go, oh! Which is so unfortunate because her brother is so gorgeous, even as a straight man. Like, Jake Gyllenhaal.
I notice that's a trend. I very rarely seen, like, a really attractive man. The sister's almost always kind of butch looking.
Yeah.
Kind of like, looks like the man.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it probably worked that way, where the guy gets a little bit of that femme hormone at... in the womb, and the girl has to, you know, take the butch,
replace,
more butch.
Replace Katie
form.
Holmes.
Right.
Or you, like Billy Joel, you marry Christy Brinkley, you have a child, and she looks like you.
Oh.
I know.
Shame.
Every time I see it. All right, Anthony, so I know you have some strong opinions on what's been going on. We just talked about this, what's been going on with immigration and ripping babies from their mother's arms, and Peter Fonda. So much has happened this week. First off, is that a real cigarette holder or is that a prank cigarette holder?
Well, it is a cigarette holder, but I imitate my father with it. My father, it has to go like this.
Oh.
Son of a bitch, Anthony. Simple common sense. And it puts me back there and tames me down a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and just make sure you don't hug anyone else for a couple of weeks and create a complex.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. We'd do a little bit better. So what's your read on this whole thing this week? We just talked about how obviously these compounds existed with Obama, and I know you're pretty media savvy.
It's so it's politically motivated. It's I can't believe anybody watches anyone on the left talk about this and actually goes, yeah, yeah, they do care. They care about the children. Because it's so obvious when they use words like torn, ripped from their parents' arms.
Yes.
No one's being, like, I haven't seen one video of, give me that kid. You want you. Like, I haven't seen one video like that.
It exists, but it's just Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, yeah. Why I on? Yeah, I haven't seen one of those. All I've seen are kids in new sneakers and nice clothes in a camp-looking atmosphere where there's arts and crafts and PlayStation and food, plenty of food.
Yeah.
Of course, the liberals have to take it to that umpteenth level. It looks like Auschwitz. Children in cages.
I think it's a version of America they settle for. I think they're okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. and it's getting very difficult for people on the left to lie to people because we have such availability to actually see and feel things. Like when they talk about the tax cuts being a terrible thing, and Pelosi will be like, oh, it's crumbs and it's a bad thing. And then somebody actually gets their paycheck and goes, wait, there's more money in here. How much does someone have to lie to you for you to go, yeah, and that's bad, more, yeah. More of my money? Like, it's getting very difficult for them to lie. So when they say children in cages, and you see these bunks and food and arts and crafts and things, you really start going, is that like Auschwitz? Is that really like a concentration Nazi death camp?
They have a lot of empanadas at Auschwitz.
Yeah.
That's basically totally overblown, the whole Auschwitz thing.
Yeah.
The history's a lie.
They just don't know that we can see it. We understand what's going on, and no matter what they say, and it's politically motivated,
yeah.
It is just to get Trump out or in trouble or impeached. Because what we're seeing now, there's so many tweets today that I've just been laughing at. Well, he signed some order so families could be together, but now families are incarcerated together. They literally want a welcome mat. Go, come on in. Come on in, everyone.
I know.
Feel free. Make yourselves at home.
That's the thing. I'm through trying to find common ground when they want open borders. Like, well, listen, you don't even believe in deporting felons. So let's not talk about babies and dreamers.
They want our border to look like the red carpet to the Chinese theater.
Yes, like Chinese.
Plow them in.
With just as many pedophiles. You know, one thing I will say, just right now when I just heard you say this. So you just said something. about it looking, you know, camp-like, and we've talked about that. And here's one thing that it points out to me: the right has played along with this, unfortunately, because the left plays in the outrage string, and the right acts like they don't kowtow, but they often do. Like Laura Ingraham got into a bunch of trouble for saying something very similar to what you just said. People went after her sponsors, but we've done that in this show, and you can say it. What are they going to do? They're, like Walther Firearms, they're not going to drop us. They knew this show when they signed up. That we're able now to just say, no, we're not playing along. But even the old right guard sometimes bends to it, and that's why I think we lost for so long.
Yeah, it is difficult, and thank God there are a few platforms out there where people could actually speak. For me to be fired, this is how difficult it is for me to be fired from here. I have to get in a time machine, go like 5 minutes into the future, come in and fire myself. It's the only way it could be done. I can't be fired. Right. So I love it. I could say whatever I want. But there's so many people that have to tiptoe and walk on those eggshells, lest, you know, we've seen it. People get exiled from the planet at this point.
Right.
Unless, of course, you're Peter Fonda. then Sony Pictures just keeps your film and you just go along your merry way after.
Wait, he has a film?
That. Yeah, he has a film coming out.
Film is coming out.
It's still greenlit.
Where's the outrage? Where is that outrage that tosses him aside, cancels the film? We've seen this happen with Roseanne. Her show is canceled for saying something that was a lot easier to handle than Baron Trump should be put in a cage with pedophiles.
Yeah.
Like Peter Fonda said.
When you say it out loud like that, it almost sounds off-putting.
You know, it almost does. Read in a transcript, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, exactly. When you say it out loud like that, it almost seems in poor taste. Here's the thing, I'm not outraged by it at all. I really couldn't care less. It's just that this is one thing when the week before that, or this same week, people were outraged that we sent Sven Computer into an LGBTQAIP panel to crash it. And like, you're just as bad as the left.
I'm still laughing.
I'm like, wait, hold on, just as bad? We sent him into a panel of professionally unemployed intersexers. And he teased them. And he left with security. He didn't say he wants a kid of a sitting president to be raped by a pedophile.
Liberals, just going to pass anything they deem as righteous anger. The same thing that happened with Samantha Bee. She kind of half-assed apologized because she didn't want to really back down from her statements.
Yeah.
It was deserved.
Yeah. When I hear, well, they're all the same. It's the biggest cop-out. Both sides are the same. It's just... It's like, no, they're not. The left is dangerous.
Yeah.
They're dangerous. If you do something or say something that doesn't go along with their line and agenda, you can lose your job, your reputation, your career, everything you've worked for, and it's gone. When you do something that the right doesn't like, wow, you're open to lively debate.
Yes.
Like there's none of these, and I don't even call them boycotts, it's extortion. When you see someone like this David Hogg piece of crap, and he goes and he's trying to get sponsors pulled from Laura Ingraham's show, that's not a boycott. They go, let the marketplace decide. If you go to sponsors and threaten them lest they pull their ads from a show, that's not a boycott.
No.
A boycott is when you stop watching something, the ratings go down, and the sponsors go, well, we're not going to pay for a low-rated show, so let's pull the sponsors. Right. You can't eliminate
the middleman
and just threaten the sponsors like the mafia. It's like a Sopranos episode.
Yeah.
They're walking into businesses, shaking them down, or they get beaten.
Yeah. Well, we good contrast there. We did a whole segment on this show celebrating that he was 18, and we could call him a dick, and we just ran through the top 10 insults to David Hogg. And
wow.
I think the number one rated was he looked like Frankie Muniz had sex with a soybean. Guess what? No one's fired us.
Nope.
We're still here. You never got us down, Hogg. That moves me to the realm of comedy, and we have to get going. It's been too long. I have to have you back much sooner.
Yes.
When I turn into Netflix and it suggests stand-up specials, I immediately skip it. I don't know if you saw this. I can't remember the name. Maybe someone can tweet me at S Crowder and help me out, because now I can't find it. But it was the front, you know, the display image on Netflix, mm-hmm. On the app, and it was this Australian lesbian fat comedian, and it was... The whole thing is she sits there and she tells one joke and then she goes, but I have to retire from comedy because my story needs to be told. And self-deprecation is not humility, it's humiliation. And then it flashes across the screen. New York Times says, a comedy special taking aim at comedy. I'm like, what? Why is this a good thing? Like, the whole point of being a good comedian is dealing with pain through humor, but now there's like, it's not funny. And it's filed under comedy specials. Anthony, you're a comedy savant, as Nick DiPaolo put it. What do you do?
I agree wholeheartedly, by the way. Patton Oswalt just put a tweet out last night about, as comedian, we have a duty to talk about things that we can't just do airplane jokes anymore. This is, oh, so the comedians, the ones that were supposed to be irreverent against the system, make people uncomfortable, they're the ones now that are supposed to be the voice of reason, you chubby little douche. I cannot stand this guy. And
what'd you say? I'm still stuck on duty.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been better as a comedian.
Duty. I hate watch Netflix, not the specials. I scroll through the beginning, like
it's kind of like a teaser, but it's automatic. Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
A teaser, and it's got text on the bottom, and it's like a hilarious take on love, political correctness, and her job. Watch it, and I cringe at just the text.
Yeah,
and I've done that for hours, that like
was
a
this,
psychopath.
That was this one. It says she retires from comedy and takes on toxic culture. I'm like, ah!
Oh, that's what I
want to see.
What
a Netflix ads, the real rape culture.
Yeah, the real.
Boy, that's just like watching Eddie Murphy Delirious. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It is just, I say this because I know you know that Patton Oswalt is funny. He's been funny.
Yes, yes.
And
that's why it's so disappointing.
It's like when Mike Myers did the Love Guru. Is it Mike Myers or Michael Myers? Which one's the Halloween
Mike Myers.
Killer?
Michael Myers is Halloween Killer.
I always get them confused.
Yeah, Mike.
When he did the Love Guru, it was so bad,
ugh,
it forced me to go back and go, well, hold on a second. Was Austin Powers ever funny? Because I thought it was funny growing up. It's kind of like Ninja Turtles. Then you realize Ninja Turtles was all bad. But this isn't through bad humor. It's just they've gotten so political. You're going, wait a second. Was this person ever funny? And it forces you to revisit their catalog. And that's not how it should be.
No, I really don't like when somebody's political affiliation or philosophy gets me to the point where I don't like them as a performer anymore. I try not to do that. But when you're saying that you're going to, like, stop doing what you do comedically to make it more relevant for politics and the time and to help the children at the border and stuff, then I can't bother. I can't bother with you anymore.
I know. It really is tough. There really are only a handful now. You got, I mean, Nick DiPaolo,
yeah.
Bill Burr is still unbelievably funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who else would you put on your list now who you really watch regularly?
I know. It's tough. Jim Norton. I love Jimmy.
Jim Norton, yeah.
Yeah, but Nick DiPaolo just the other day at Levity Live in New York got punched in the eye by a little woman, this woman in Birkenstocks, and, you know, and punched him right in the face.
Birkenstocks.
He's got a big black eye and everything because she didn't like his brand of humor. But that's the liberal tolerant left.
Oh, we have to have him on.
We
he's going to hear about this and be like,
oh, get Nick. Like, he's great.
Crowder, I hear you fucking laughed at me getting punched in the eye. That's great. I want to do your program again. Be like, hold on, Nick, Nick, Nick. It's funny when you hear it by a lady in Birkenstocks.
Yeah, it was. A girl in Birkenstocks and a little, you know, the vagina hat and everything.
Well, no, they can't do that anymore because not all women have vaginas. Haven't you heard?
Yeah, yeah. Haven't we heard that the insanity, the absolute insanity going on? We think like, I think back a year ago or even 6 months ago and go, it can't possibly get worse than this. And then the mental institution throws another set of doors open and more maniacs come flying out.
I know. It really, but you know, as comedians, there's nothing funny here. It's a dumpster fire. There's nothing funny about people protesting the pussy hats because not all women have vaginas. You couldn't possibly come up with a premise from that, says Pout.
No.
All right, we got to get going, brother. But that is, of course, the Anthony Cumia Show on Compound Media. Did I just say it wrong again? Son of
a... No, that's perfect.
Okay, all right. And at the Cumia Show on the Twitter. And what's the YouTube channel as well?
I don't know. Just look up Compound Media. I'm all over it.
He is. He's all over it. He runs it.
Easy
and some other great shows there. Hey, Anthony, thank you so much, brother. We'll have you back soon.
Thank you, Stephen.
All right, and we're wrapping this up with my people.
My morning update isn't my only ritual, BP. I like to start off every day right with the finest products of Dollar Shave Club, like the Amber Lavender Body Cleanser, the Pillowy Shave Lather. I myself splurged for the Executive Blade. And now just a final touch from their premium hair products,
like their smart hair paste. Boom, ready to go, Beep Beep.
Again, that's dollarshaveclub.com/Crowder. dollarshaveclub.com/Crowder. $5, get the whole kit. It's awesome. God's chosen people of the desert is going to be taken out by a little riptide?
Nope.
It won't happen by the permission of the Lord my God.
Red Sea just had its way with...
Well, that's pretty much everyone as it relates to you. Hey, Anthony Cumia, thank you so much. And Ben Shapiro, thank you very much. Charlton Heston, terrible actor. Not a fan. That's something else we'll also get in the comments section. I've gotten more hate for saying that I didn't think Carol Burnett was funny.
Really?
I think anything else. Yeah. Yeah.
I can...
That.
Yeah, fine.
And the Hitler was a liberal socialist. That, still think so.
That. And Bruce Lee. You got to tech Bruce.
Oh, my gosh. Bruce Lee.
It's confirmed.
It's confirmed. And everything we said was true. Which, by the way, speaking of which, we have Voss Rutten on the show.
Really? Coming
next up? Next week, and Andrew Klavan, and Sebastian Gorka. And we have a bunch of great people coming up on the show. We have some more Change My Minds coming up. And
cultural appropriation again next cultural week. Send in your ideas.
Next week.
And we'll do another costume contest.
First costume contest.
Lost tonight, sorry.
And we're doing some hidden camera work here pretty soon. Some stuff that we're pretty excited. Could go. Here's the thing.
Well, mischief, see?
Yes. Well, not really mischief, actually. There's something we're really seeking to accomplish, and it's kind of dangerous. We're not going to lie to you. We might come in with some black eyes here at some point, very soon. And here's the thing. I don't want to. We usually don't tell you about this, and that's because hidden cameras can go either way. You never know. You know, if there's no story, we don't really create a story.
No.
I remember when I used to be at other news networks, they would do that.
Make the footage work.
Yeah, make the footage work. So you never know. But
advocates.
Yeah, you had a point. You were saying.
Here we go.
I gotta take this. I fixed it, and now it's bad again. You had a point before that we were talking about during the break.
Yeah, something that's really bothering me this week is the whole the Peter Fonda thing. And I'm not mad that he, you know, there is the blatant hypocrisy that he's not, his movie is alive and well, unlike Roseanne, who is, you know, removed from society for much less, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But what's bothering...
It's not really an opinion.
Yeah, it's just kind of a fact.
I think saying someone looked like someone from Planet of the Apes, as far as a haircut, I think is definitively less severe than saying you hope someone's child gets raped by pedophiles.
When you say it that way,
I don't think it's... Yeah. But I guess it's opinion. I guess we have to hedge our bets. It's like allegedly. Hmm. Opinion... Raped by pedophiles? Bad haircut. You decide.
Yeah, but where what pisses me off is this idea of righteous anger and how the left gives a pass to people who they deem have righteous anger, which it's fine. There are instances of righteous anger.
Sure.
But it has to be based on truth. And if it's not based on truth, it's not. You don't get earn the righteous anger pass.
Shouldn't be conceded that moral high ground just because scream.
No, there are plenty of instances in life where righteous anger is well warranted. You know, if your daughter is getting beat the hell by a tranny in the Texas State Wrestling Championship.
Demonetized.
Yeah, demonetized. But you know, that's righteous anger. You know, the dad who wanted to beat the crap out of the Olympic coach in the trial hearing. That's a righteous anger. Like, okay, I get it.
Yes.
But it's because it's not based on a lie. It's based on truth. And I think we kind of like to blur the lines and pretend, okay, you know, actually, Samantha Bee had a point.
Right. And it's also based on some framework of morality.
Yeah.
The left despises. Yeah. That's why they despised Dirty Harry as a character. Yeah. Death Wish, right?
Death Wish.
This is racist. This is jingoist. This is vigilante. This is bad. This is toxic masculinity. Because they don't have a foundation. They don't have a moral framework. And yeah, I think that's a good...
That said, I do think Peter Fonda had a much better apology than Samantha Bee offered. I will give him that much.
What was
saying...
I don't watch apologies.
He didn't really... He didn't double down on saying that it was well warranted. He said I was impassioned like many Americans, but doesn't warrant what I said. So he did apologize.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I appreciate what Ben Shapiro said earlier about Tommy Robinson.
Yeah.
Like, we do that all the time on this show, and I've seen him do it before. And I know, listen, Ben can be a little bit of a know-it-all, because usually he does know-it-all. But I appreciate that. Like I said, we have to kind of self-regulate with that. So we do have to hold ourselves to a bit of a higher standard
yep.
than, say, Samantha Bee or Peter Fonda. But speaking of foundation, you know, that's a really important thing, and I'm letting the cat out of the bag here. We pre-taped Brian Shaw this week. And again, the reason for that is because we're going to be doing some hidden camera stuff on location. And so every now and then we have to pre-tape a guest because it's just – we're doing this on a staff of – this isn't a staff that's less than half of just the writers for the Dana Carvey sketch show. To give you an idea, go again watch that.
And their stuff was pure shit.
No, their stuff was some of it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
but some really talented people. It's funny, actually, my dad said, you need to watch this. I said, what are you saying, we're going to fail? He said, no, I'm just saying that comedians, look, they used to be these great people. And I was like, that's not what I see at all. Yeah. He said, no, I'm saying that now they're cowardly. And, you know, they used to go up against the networks. And this is a great opportunity for Loud with Crowder. I said, I watch it and I see that hard work and great talent aren't enough sometimes. But speaking of foundation, you've gained some weight here. We've talked about this with Brian Shaw. You've put on 15 pounds-ish?
15 to 20.
And you've been lifting weights and eating more, and that's been a struggle for you.
It's been a really hard struggle, and I've, for the first time ever, have been really committed to consistency.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing some results.
You are seeing some results.
It's small, and you have to kind of, you know.
It's not small.
You have to pace yourself, but.
I notice. I think it's definitely noticeable to me, and several people have talked about it. Several people in the comments section, actually. Now watch, they're going to call you a fat son of a bitch. That's the comment section.
You're like, tubby.
But speaking of foundation, you know, that's an important thing. What are you doing to put on weight? You're eating?
What am I doing? I am eating a ridiculous amount of calories and working out 3 times a week.
Right.
Lifting heavy stuff.
Heavy compound lifts.
Heavy compound lifts.
And I really do have this unbelievable privilege, and it's funny that it's turned into a dirty word, but I use this term as it's meant to be used, a privilege to interview excellent people. Mm-hmm. Often people who are the best at what they do, period, in the world. So Brian Shaw is the world's strongest man 4 times, I think 4 or 5 times Arnold Strongman Classic winner, which is another competition. But
yeah,
so he's basically 8 times.
It's disgusting how strong he is.
and one of my favorite interviews I've ever done, and we'll have that, I think, here either next week or the week after. And Boss Rudin, going to be next week, was a UFC champion, king mm-hmm. of pancreas. And so I've had the ability, I've had the luxury, the privilege of picking some of these people's brains. And asking them questions. That, to me, is what fascinates me. And I hope it's something you enjoy as a viewer, as opposed to just saying, so you eat a lot of food. We ask those questions, too. But there are some really personal questions that I try to ask of these people because I think people want to know. I mean, getting into the mind of someone who's the best at anything, even if it were a soccer player, is fascinating to me. I use that term loosely in that instance. But the foundation, Brian Shaw talked about it. He said, listen, there's no magic bullet. It's eating an insane amount. I think he eats 12,000 calories a day and lifting heavy things. It's the same thing for him, effectively, as it is for you. Now, you're never going to be 6'8", 440 pounds, but you're still bigger than you were before.
With a 1,000-pound
deadlift. And your squat is like 960-something. And in asking a lot of these people, this is one thing, until we get a lot of emails to this effect, hey, I want to go into either comedy or I want to go into podcasting. How do we do this? And listen, there are plenty of other people who are more successful who could give you great advice as well. But I can say this, and speaking with people who are the best, so Brian Shaw is a great example. It just echoed what we've always heard. It starts with a moment where he said, you know what, I realized I couldn't do this when I competed my first. You know, he was a very small, 330 pounds back then. I said, I realized that I could do it. And I thought, okay, I can compete with the best of them, and then it comes down to all the other stuff. So there's a same trend. Same thing with Boss Rudin. Boss Rudin started out doing karate. He was bullied as a kid, and then he had a few competitions, and he's talked about that. We've got George St. Pierre on the show, where they had a moment, that flash of genius moment, where you realize, okay, you believe in yourself, that you think you can do this. And that's what I've talked about in the past. You can go back to previous shows. Find what you're good there. Everyone is excellent at something. You just need to find what it is. In Brian Shaw's case, it's pretty clear. It's plain to see. It might take you a little while. But everyone who's very successful at a high level, I've noticed on this show, the trend is there's that moment of they believe in themselves. And that's an exciting moment. I can say that we've had that with this show. We're like, you know what? We can do this. And we can do this really well. And people will really enjoy this. Remember we set out? We didn't know if we were going to make a show that anyone wanted. So there's a moment. And that's exciting. It's a really exciting moment. And a lot of people aren't fortunate enough to experience that. But then what's not so exciting is what comes after that. And it's the same thing with every successful person you see. It's the unsuccessful in-betweens. It is the flash of genius moment, the I believe in myself moment, which is earned, followed by long, unsexy, grueling work. So Brian Shaw had a moment where he said, I think I could legitimately, if I do my best here, become the world's strongest man. And then the answer to that question is eating 12,000 calories a day, lifting heavy weights, monitoring my progress.
Not once.
Resting, not once, every single day, even when I'm sick, when I travel, being disciplined, bringing the right food. George St. Pierre, when he was on the show, same thing. I realized I could really do this. And then it was conditioning. It was doing neurological training. It was doing game planning that I knew my opponents weren't doing. It was learning how to live with my fear. Mm-hmm. It was lifting weights. It was fighting. It was sparring every day, even when I was injured. Same thing with Boss Rutan. Same thing even if you talk with Ben Shapiro about academic achievements. It could be anything. It could be intellectual. It could be physical. But every single one of them has an like, this is when I realized about I could do it. And then all of this stuff. And if you're lucky enough to have that moment where you actually believe in yourself, not the lie of self-esteem, but you believe in yourself, you find out what you're great at doing, and that's why that's the most important thing you can do to live a life of purpose. If you're fortunate enough to experience that, then comes the unsaid. And most people don't experience that, and then the vast majority of people who do don't do the in-betweens, and that is the difference between the start and success.
It could be really discouraging to think. For me, I know it could be years. It'll probably be years before I really reach some of my goals. That's not overnight. That's the opposite of overnight. But here's what I started realizing. The time's going to pass anyways. Might as well have something to show for it.
might as well Count of Monte Cristo have a few lines on the wall to show for it. Brian Shaw, I think, has more runner-up titles at World's Strongest Men than anyone in history, I believe. I believe three or four times he was number two. And he still, imagine that, right? If you go, I don't get the glory. If you haven't accepted the sexy in the unsexy in-betweens, if you haven't accepted the grueling stuff that sucks between your I can do this and success, you're never going to achieve that success. If he's chasing the glory, if he's chasing the fame, he's going to stop at his first number two, let alone his third, his fourth, and then rattled off some wins as the world's strongest freaking man. And I use this as an example because such a great guy. We'll probably do some work with him in the future, and it's so absolute. It's such a world's strongest man, period. Well, do you mean he's the strongest man, period. Well, do you mean that this person is kind of the best power forward? Nope, he's the strongest man, period. Okay, how did that happen? With every single successful person I have noticed, and I've interviewed a lot of them, and it was dawning on me this week, it is a flash of genius moment, I believe in myself, which is earned, and then doing the in-betweens, but then there's a decision after that, the acceptance of this is going to suck. The acceptance of the in-betweens, because when that glory fades, like Transit Gloria, right, anyone who's watched Rushmore, when that glory fades, you accepting the grueling work is the most important thing, because then you're going to do it day in and day out. It's just part of your job. It's just part of your calling. And then it becomes a part of something that you almost enjoy. People talk about the grind. You have all these stupid motivational speakers on Twitter. And so, embrace the grind, man. Go out and crush it. But again, they're doing it for the glory. So everyone thinks it's that beautiful snapshot. It's not. It sucks. Yeah. And accepting that is accepting suckiness.
Yeah.
Accepting pain, I've noticed. Once you figured out what you do well, ironically, accepting crap and pain is that first step towards success. I wish you were more inspirational, but guess what? If you want to be good at anything, this is gonna hurt. See you next week. It only takes-